translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acting in terms of that relationship, and the ultimate goal of life, that is, to develop love of God. These three subjects are explained in every aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra, for they form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. Please repeat. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Activities in terms of that relationship. And the ultimate goal of life, to develop love of God. These three subjects are explained in every aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra, for they form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.5, it is said, Parabhavastava bauda jata yavana jigyasa atmatadvam. A human being is defeated in all his activities so long as he does not know the goal of life, which can be understood when one is inquisitive about Brahman. It is such inquiry that begins the Vedanta Sutra, Adato Brahma Jigyasa. A human being should be inquisitive to know who he is, what is this universe, what God is, what is the relationship between himself and God in the material world. Such questions cannot be asked by cats and dogs, but they must arise in the heart of a real human being. Knowledge of these four items, namely oneself, the universe, God, and their internal relationship, is called sambandhigyan, or the knowledge of one's relationship. When one's relationship with the Supreme is established, the next program is to act in that relationship. This is called abhideya, or activities in relationship with the Lord. After executing such prescribed duties, when one attains the highest goal of love, love of God, he achieves prayojana siddhi, or the fulfillment of his human mission. In the Brahma Sutra or the Vedanta Sutra, these subjects are very carefully explained. Therefore, one who does not understand the Vedanta Sutra in terms of these principles is simply wasting his time. This is the version of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, verse number 8. Dharma swananu sita pumsam vishvaksena katasuyat nopadayed yadi rutim shrama eva hi kevalam. One must be a very learned scholar and execute his prescribed duties very nicely, one may be a very learned scholar and execute his prescribed duties very nicely, but if he does not ultimately become inquisitive about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is indifferent to Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, all that he has done is simply a waste of time. Mayavadi philosophers who do not understand the relationship between himself, the cosmic manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are simply wasting their time, and this philosophical speculation has no value. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gudave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Bande Hum Shiguro Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahaganad Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Satvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhadu, Suti Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha, Kalpa, Tarubhyascha, Kriva, Sindhu, Paebhacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namaho, Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktarindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this verse is explaining that all Vedic literatures are comprised of three categories, or three essential categories, and all categories that fall within these three categories. One is called Sambandha Gyan, and that is to establish one's relationship with the Supreme, such as what would be that learning Vedic knowledge, taking shelter of a spiritual master, hearing about the glories of the great souls, the energies of the Lord, the different incarnations of the Lord. In other words, getting connected with the process of bhakti by establishing oneself with the goal of bhakti or Krishna. This is Sambandha Gyan. And Sambandha Gyan actually has four categories. Knowledge of this material cosmic manifestation. Krishna spends a lot of time in the Bhagavad Gita explaining how this material energy works and what is our relationship. Bhagavad Gita is a lot of Sambandha. A lot of Sambandha. Prayojan is mentioned, Abhideya is also there, but Palana Sambandha. Who you are, who am I, what is our relationship, and what are the activities that make up that relationship. So these are fundamental to the execution of the process of bhakti yoga. So, Prabhupada, when he first put out the Back to Godhead magazine, He put a little, I guess you could say, I don't know, colored caption on the top. Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. And so what is nescience? Nescience means the knowledge of how this material world is working. And he explains in many places, and Krishna also says, one should know knowledge and nescience side by side. How this material world works, and what happens when we perform certain activities. Of course, the basic principle of the activities of the material energy is the laws of karma. Action, reaction, like that. So these are fundamental to the practice of bhakti, to know how this material energy works. Because if you don't, just like a child, if they don't know fire burns, fire looks very nice. And it's very bright, colorful, also feels warm when you get close to it. But if you get too close, you get burnt. So the material energy has to be understood and how to deal with the material energy in such a way that the material energy doesn't entangle us further in the meshes of birth, death, disease, and old age. So knowledge of the material and knowledge of the energies that make up the material energy, which is basically three. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. And Krishna explains in one whole chapter, of course things are divided into chapters. When Krishna speaks, he doesn't speak in chapters, he speaks. He just presents the knowledge, and then we divide it into chapters like that, or into sections within the chapters. But he spends a good part of his explanation to Arjuna about the science of bhakti in relationship to how this material energy works. And that's the whole 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Why would he spend so much time? Because, and if of course, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, there's so much knowledge of the material energy. They also, in the 15th chapter, a lot is explained there. The 8th chapter talks about both the material energy and the spiritual energy. So Krishna speaks a lot about his energies. And he wants us to get a clear understanding of how things work. And that way we can understand things in relationship to him. To understand Krishna means to understand things in relationship to Krishna also. Because Krishna is the source of everything. Ishwara Parma Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha and Adir Adir Govinda Sarva Karnam Karnam. He's the cause of all causes, the source of everything. Everything exists within him and everything is working under his direction, either directly or indirectly, depending on the nature of the energy. Through the material energy, he's indirect. Through the spiritual energy, he's direct. But both are working under his guidance. Nothing is separate from Krishna. So to know how the material energy works, of course you can't know all the intricacies. Just like Prabhupada said, when asked about how karma works, why do we get a particular body? What are the intricacies that make up the particular manifestation of the body and the place, everything that brings about what is called birth? Prabhupada said, it's too difficult to understand that. And so if you know the principles of the laws, you can understand a little bit of why things happen. But to get into the intricacies and the dynamics of the interactions of the subtle laws of material energy takes great study. And actually, it's not necessary. Because if you know the main principles, you can avoid the difficulties and understand ultimately how things are working. Like that. So, this material energy is, and Krishna says, the material energy is eternal also. How is it eternal? Is that the manifestations are temporary, but the phenomena of material existence is an eternal factor. There will always be a material world. So devotees question Srila Prabhupada, what do you mean always be a material world? Won't everybody go back to home, back to Godhead? Prabhupada said ultimately that is perfection, but there's always criminals, so there has to be a material world. It's just like there always is. In every country you find, even in the best of all countries, even if people are very pious, there's still jails. This material world is a prison house. So those who break the laws of God must enter into the prison house and suffer further. So the phenomena of the material energy is eternal, but the manifestations are temporary like that. And the ingredients are also eternal. Even the scientists know that. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. Those of you who go to study chemistry or what else, what's physics, matter just changes its form, but never is lost. If you take water, you put it on fire, it becomes gas. So it just changes from water to gas, or from water to air, like that. So material energy, the molecules may change structure, but ultimately they're never destroyed. The atoms are never destroyed like that. So this is nice to know, because we have to understand that this material energy is what is keeping us bound up in the cycle of birth and death, life after life after life. So that's one of the principles of the material energy. And what is the living entities? Who are the living entities? What is the nature of a living entity? What is the relationship between the living entities and each other? What is the relationship between the living entities and the material world? What is the relationship between the living entities and God? What is the relationship between the material energies and activities? So there's different relationships of the living entities. This all makes up the science of Sambandha. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a long, extensive discussion, which came in the form of a question and answer session, on these topics. Actually, what it was, over a period of time, people asked him so many questions on spiritual topics. And later it was categorized in a book called Bhaktivinoda Vani Vaibhava. And in that, there are three sections. The knowledge of Sambandha, the knowledge of Abhideya, and the knowledge of Prayojana. And guess what? Sambandha is the biggest category. Establishing our relationship with Krishna. Through establishing our relationship to things in relationship with Krishna also, like that. So this knowledge is very essential. Also, what makes up Sambandha is the knowledge of God. That's a big category too. This is not the deeper, higher, transcendental activities of the Lord in the spiritual world, but what is the principle of the absolute truth? Just like in the first, second cantos, a lot is described on what is the nature of the absolute truth. How does it function? You know, how does it create? What is the relationship between the material energy and Krishna? How Krishna expands into Balaram, and Balaram expands into the Chaturvyuha. And Chaturvyuha expands into Narayan. Narayan expands into a second Chaturvyuha. And then from the second Chaturvyuha, there's Sankarsana. And he expands further into Mahavishnu. And that begins the creation at that point. So all this is nicely mentioned and described in various scriptures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the creation and there's the sub-creation also. And God's function within that. Krishna does none of this stuff. It's all done through his expansions or his, let me say, incarnations, such as Mahavishnu. So, to know what God does and to know why he does what he does, this is also part of Sambandha Jnana. So it's a huge topic. It's huge. It's really a huge topic. And then the last thing is the fourth category, I think it's mentioned here in the purport. What is God? What is the relationship between himself? What are the material energy and the living beings? So this is the four categories of Sambandha Jnana. And this is just the beginning. Then there is Abhideya. Abhideya means codes of conduct, to put it in a more succinct understanding. What you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to avoid. Rupa Goswami categorizes this in two categories. He says, what is it called? Things you're supposed to do, anukulena and pratikul. Things you're supposed to do, things you're supposed to avoid. If we do things that we're supposed to do, but do things that we're supposed to avoid, we somewhat cover over the benefits of the things we're doing. We nullify the benefits. So knowing what to avoid is part of Abhideya also, functioning in relationship to the Supreme. And of course, acting extremely outside of that relationship, that is called offensive. And through offenses, nothing develops spiritually like that. So it's a great science, these different topics to study and to hear more and more. Abhideya pretty much means, you know, your activities in devotional service. Now, a particular person's Abhideya, or how it expands, it functions, is more or less given by the spiritual master. It's not so much the service itself, It's the mood of the execution of the service and the principles that make up bhakti yoga also. How many of you have read and studied Nectar of Devotion? It's Prabhupada said, read it once, read it twice, read it thrice. He said, this book we should know very carefully, especially the first 19 chapters, which describes the whole science of bhakti and how it works. When you perform an activity, two things happen. You get a result, and an inclination to perform that same activity becomes stronger. So just to understand the nature of an activity, when you do something, there's a result from that according to the nature of the activity, and the inclination to perform the activity again is accentuated or accelerated when you perform that activity. So that's the nature of activities. So the more you do something, the more you're going to do it. So this whole science of activities is explained nicely in Nectar of Devotion. So all these topics that make up these three categories, devotees should study them very, very carefully and understand, well, what's my relationship with Krishna? What do I do in that relationship? And what's the goal? This is the last category. It's the smallest category. Each of the categories are lesser. Sambandha is the biggest, Abhidhaya is less, and Prayojana is the smallest category. And Prayojana is described as, I'll read one definition, necessities. That's the definition of Prayojana. Necessities. What does that mean? What's necessary in life? It's not food, water, air. It's talking about the necessities of the soul. What is the necessity of the soul? It comes down to one word, love. So here it's also mentioned that the ultimate goal of life is to develop love of God. So that the categories that make up Prayojana teach us how to function in the quality of Abhideya that it manifests into the results of Prayojana. In other words, our activities bring about loving relationships with God. Not acting for the sake of acting, but acting with a goal in mind. Right? When you go to school, or you go to a university, you usually have a particular goal when you enter into the university, as far as you want to graduate. Or sometimes a person will go into a university and don't know what they're going to do until they get in there for a while, right? It's usually like that sometimes. But once you get the feel of it, then you choose your, what they say, major, your minor, and you have a particular focus, and then you emphasize the subject matters in relationship to your goal. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So knowing the goal of bhakti means what we say, proper execution of the principles of bhakti. What's the goal? Well, when we first come to join Krishna consciousness, we may not come for love of God. In fact, Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. When a person comes, they come for different reasons. Some people come because material life is distressful. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of disappointment. And we might say that's one of the largest categories of why people come, just to get out of the suffering of material life. And that's natural, normal, acceptable. And then sometimes people come because they can't make it in the material world economically. So they come to God so they can bargain with God. I'll give you a prayer, you give me some money. Right? Please, my dear Lord, give me our daily bread. I can't do it, but you can do it. So here's a prayer or two. I'll even give you one, maybe 2 pounds, but you've got to multiply that, you know, for me a little bit. God has becomes the, you know, the shareholder of the whole program. And it's an investment. So the spiritual life becomes a good investment. It's guaranteed that the shares of the stock will not go down, right? It's definitely good program. So that's why it says, Krishna mentions that people come for economic gain. They come for economic gain. That's a big category. Others come because they're curious. What's spiritual life? What's it like? You know, I heard about it. I've read some books about it. Let me actually try practicing it and see how it affects me. Curiosity. That's also a category. That's a little higher. As we speak about the categories, we're going from higher to higher. In other words, they're all glorious because why? Anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness is glorious. Krishna says that. He calls them Mahatma, great soul. But then he says, within the reasons, there are gradations of importance. And the person who comes to the last stage, that is, wants to know the absolute truth, who is God, what is my relationship with God, how do I act in that relationship, and what's the goal? That person is the best. So, but whatever category one comes in, ultimately one has to come to bhakti. But then when one gets situated in the process of bhakti, and becomes a little bit, what we say, familiar with the process, then they have to understand there's only one goal for bhakti. It's not about economic gain. It's not about making a nice arrangement in the material world. It's about loving Krishna. It's about developing our love for Krishna. That's the goal. And all activities are meant to facilitate that loving relationship. When one performs all their activities in a mood of accentuating and increasing loving relationship with God, then they are situated in perfect devotional service or perfect performance of devotional service. How to do that? That's the science. As Prabhupada said, that science is taught by the spiritual master. So learning the science of how to love God, it's not about learning something new, it's about reawakening something that you forgot, that's all. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saruka Bunai Shravanari Siddhi Chitti Chitta Koriye Udai. What does that say? That Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prema, is your birthright. It's part of your existence. It's not something you have to get somewhere. You just something you have to discover within your own self. And that attainment of Krishna Bhakti fulfills all desires. This is the ultimate principle. When one develops love of God, all of one's desires, all on all levels of existence, become completely and perfectly satisfied and fulfilled. Like that. So one should aspire only for love of God and nothing less. To aspire for anything less in the science of bhakti means to cheat yourself. You can cheat yourself too. People like to cheat each other, but we get cheat ourselves too. How do you cheat yourself? Is that if a rich man comes up to you and says, "My dear sir, madam, you know, I'm feeling very generous today, and I'd like to offer you a benediction. So just ask a sum of money for me, and it's granted. I feel so magnanimous today." And you say, "Well, can you give me 10 pounds? I really need to get this cab, and I have to go downtown and see a movie." So you don't ask for much, you just ask for something really small. And he says, "What? That's all? Try again. We'll give you a second chance." "All right, 25 pounds. I'll take the cab and get something to eat too." So it's like that. So when we come into bhakti, if we're looking for something different than what the goal is, or something less, we're cheating ourselves. Because love of God is perfection on all levels. And we might say, "Well, that's a lofty goal." It is. But it's the only goal. Prema Pumartha Mahan. It says that in the activities of the human beings within the world, four activities are going on every day. And that is pious activities, economic development, satisfying the senses, and trying to get free from the suffering of material energy or liberation. But then the highest is Prema Pumartha Mahan, or Purushartha Siromani. Siromani is a jewel, and Purushartha is something, is an activity. So the jewel of all activity is to aspire for or act in our relationship with Krishna to develop love for Krishna, or love for God, Ram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, any of the manifestations of Krishna. So that's perfection. How to love God? Chant Hare Krishna. But chant with, not to get your rounds done. Sometimes it's understood if you chant just to get your rounds done, you'll get your rounds done. That's all. It's like if somebody calls you and says, "My dear sir, my dear madam, I don't really want to be with you, but I have to stay with you for some time, so just be patient." That's what we're saying to Krishna when we chant our rounds just to get it done. "All right, Krishna, you know, I got to do it. Just be patient. You can give me some mercy, but really, the goal is I got to do something else." And that's really what I'm going for. So what is Krishna going to say? "Well, I'll be back when you're done." Or, "Call me when you get serious." So, of course, Prabhupada says any kind of japa is beneficial. But why take just a few drops when we can get the whole ocean? That japa that focuses on pleasing Krishna or absorbs one's consciousness in Krishna. One should aspire for that type of japa and not think in terms of time, fulfillment of time like that. The mode of passion compels or impels us to act in the way to do things. But the mode of goodness means to act in such a way that you get the benefit of the activity. So loving God means chanting your rounds really with all your heart, all your attention, all your energy, and with no other concern. And then if we chant like, as Prabhupada said, practically all of your advancement in Krishna consciousness is based on chanting Hare Krishna. He said 95, 99%, 100%. So from there, everything stems. It's the seed of all, what we say, bhakti, is the holy name. Everything expands from the holy name. So chant with that type of devotion and attention and seriousness, and then we'll be able to experience Krishna in the sound of his holy name like that. Because Lord Chaitanya has given that the method, and this is the perfection of Abhideya, to act in the best possible way in every spiritual activity. So love of God simply means to serve Krishna with as much attention and as much quality in the activity as we can. Keeping our attention on the activity and trying to offer that activity in the best possible way. And for one who practices devotional service very seriously, that means 24 hours a day. How to get up in the morning in a devotional way, not like, "Oh man, it's another day." And you look in the mirror and you can't see the mirror for at least 5 minutes. No, the first thing you do is when you get up in the morning, you just, you know, you hit the floor, right? You look for a picture of your spiritual master or Prabhupada. You pay your obeisances. That begins the day. If you don't do that, you haven't started the day. That's the first thing a devotee does. Pays full obeisances with attention to the spiritual master. And also glorifies their Ishtadeva, that is, the deity they're serving. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nandaki Jai Radha Nandanishwari Ki Jai. So, and then you're awake. You know, the waking process is already happening like that. So that's bhakti. These are little things, right? But they're not really that little when you think about them like that. When we take prasadam, what are we doing? We're honoring Krishna in the form of food. Krishna has manifest himself in the most sweetest and most pleasing of all ways, prasad. So that prasad is his energy and manifested as Krishna himself. One devotee asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you said that Krishna is none different than prasadam, so can we just eat our way back to Godhead?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, if you have that consciousness." If you have that consciousness that this is Krishna, none different than Krishna, and honor Krishna in that mood. So these are all elements of abhideya, how to execute bhakti in such a way as that we get the benefit. Bhakti is not successful by how much you do, but whatever you're doing, what is the quality, attention, devotion you're putting into whatever you're doing. That is the essence of bhakti, like that. So this is the qualities of abhideya, like that. So, and the goal is to love Krishna, or to develop that love of Krishna. And it says, when you develop that love of Krishna, there's nothing else to achieve for. Everything else is there. It's included in love of God. Okay, so any questions?